Welcome to Rewrite the Rules. I'm Ritu Mehrish.
I'm Rajita Saxena.
On this podcast, we interview successful women leaders across Asia to discover how they're rewriting the rules of life, career, and relationships. Welcome to this episode, Nora. So Nora is the publisher of Penguin Random House Southeast Asia. So Nora, welcome again, and just share a little bit about your journey. Where did you get started and what you're doing right now?
I actually started as a teacher. I came from a family of teachers. So I thought teaching was the natural choice for me. So when I was teaching, I looked at the content in the books, and I kept wishing that I could do something more about the content. And then I thought about publishing, right? That's how I, you know, switched to an editor, right? So then I worked my way up. I was in one publishing company for, I think, about 2 years. And then I joined another one for, and I stayed for 11 years. And now I'm in Penguin, and I oversee the publishing for Southeast Asia, for Penguin Random House, Southeast Asia.
Wow. I mean, when you were a teacher, did you ever imagine you'll end up doing what you're doing today?
No, not at all. My teaching job was my first job after I graduated from the university. So I cannot say that I knew exactly what I was doing.
Right. Do you think now you know what you want to do?
I do, actually. It took me some time, but I'm doing exactly what I've always wanted to do.
Nice.
Where my strengths, where I can leverage on my strengths.
I'm just curious, and I'm sure you get asked this question a lot. Because you're a publisher in this industry, do you love reading books?
I've always loved reading. So as a child, I used to read all the time. I used to read after my parents thought I was sleeping. Unfortunately, I don't have the same amount of time as I used to read leisurely. I'm often reading a lot of raw manuscripts nowadays.
Yes. That's right. That's right. I mean, how interesting is that, reading raw manuscript, things that have still not, you know, still are not there, and you get a first preview to that. That must be exciting.
It is. It is. And you are able to, you know, see the potential in the manuscript or otherwise, of course.
Right. I'm curious to ask you another question, which is a difficult question. What's your favorite genre?
I used to like reading modern contemporary fiction, right? But now I actually enjoy reading a lot of nonfiction. So both creative nonfiction, whether it's about an author's or someone's journey through loss and grief, or, you know, just self-help, reading about, reading books in general about how to become a better person, a better leader.
What books are you reading?
I'm actually trying to finish creative nonfiction. I'm not being biased, okay, but
no.
I really love this it's a translation from the Philippines called Six Saturdays of Beyblade. It's about this father's, it's a collection of essays from this author who lost his child, very young child, and how he coped with the loss. I like to take, you know, have takeaways from other people's lives and be in their shoes and cry, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Right. I mean, books have that magic, right? Nora, I'm going to shift gears a bit. You know, this podcast is about women leaders and women leaders in Asia. Mm-hmm. So I want you to kind of shift a little bit of the focus there. You've been a pioneer in your industry in some way, in one way or the other, or more than one ways, I should say that. As you look at your journey, what have been some of the challenges that you've seen?
When I started my career, it was a very long time ago, huh? We didn't have so many open conversations like we do now, right? We didn't have that luxury. We didn't have the platforms. I've always been less reticent than others. I would voice my opinions during meetings. I would ask questions. I felt that although there were other people who would do the same, especially if they were men, that was encouraged. Whereas as a woman, it was seen as aggressive. Another challenge, I think, was I really felt that I did not have any support. Often felt like I was alone, you know, I didn't know who to talk to. Do I talk to my supervisor? Then that would be an admittance of failure or weakness.
Yeah.
Do I speak to a colleague? Then would it be just ranting and whining? Is this normal? What I'm going through? What do I do? So I didn't know, you know. I would sometimes just go home and cry, because when you're trying to build a career, you have so many insecurities and you don't really know where to go and what to do and who to ask. My next one, of course, I think this is very common, would be the separation anxiety after I had children.
Yes.
And the guilt, right?
Yeah.
Mother's guilt. During my time, fathers did not have the paternity leave that they have now.
Yeah.
So my husband was at home for, I can't remember how many days, and then poof, he went back to work, right? And I also only took, I think, a month off instead of three. I felt guilty for going back to work. I felt guilty for actually wanting to go back to work and actually feeling some sort of fulfillment or you know, some sort of happiness when I'm at work away from my children. When I spoke to my husband, you know, he said, huh, what, I don't understand. So he didn't understand, you know, because women are the ones that are supposed to feel happy, right? Being with their children. I actually do appreciate my time at work away from my children very much. And I found that it's been very useful in shaping how my children think about how women should be. It was, why are you putting so much pressure on yourself to go back to work? I know it's... So on one hand, right, whenever I had to travel, I would cry on the plane. But on the other hand, when I am in the thick of work and I'm thriving, I get really excited about what I'm doing. I'm happy.
Nora, you made such an interesting point, and I want to kind of double click a little bit on this. Is this whole thing about mother's guilt? Because I know a lot of women leaders talk about it, and it's real, but it's, in a way, sometimes I also feel there's almost a pressure to feel a certain way when you become a mother, right? When my first child was born, I went back. I took a role which was not traveling, which was very, you know, stationed, more stable. And those 18 months, I was miserable because that was not the kind of role I enjoyed. So in fact, when I was pregnant the second time, my husband said that, please do not select a role based on it'll be stable. Go for a role that you'll really enjoy. And after my second child, I took on, you know, the role that I enjoyed and which had a lot of traveling. But the worry was not me feeling bad that I'm going, but the worry was how am I going to be perceived as a mother? that I'm leaving such a small child and thing, right? So it's a little bit of a vicious circle. I know a lot of young women leaders go through it, and there is an inflection point in at least 70 to 80% of them, if not 100%, when they become a mother. Right. And therefore, I just think it was such a great point. I want to go back to the point that you made about the whole thing of not having enough platform, who to go to, who to speak with. How did you work around it? How did you find your way?
So two things, right? As someone who was relatively young then, whenever I had FaceTime with bosses, one thing that I'm glad I did was I took feedback, reviews, appraisals very seriously. I used to note down, take down the, areas, ASIs, right? Areas for improvement. Mm-hmm. And any gaps that I'm supposed to work on. I decided I would find a mentor. Mm-hmm. I would choose a mentor, I'm not going to wait for someone to mentor me. I will look for a mentor first, just quietly tell myself, okay, this person, I'm going to observe what she does. I'm going to see how to do it. I'm going to go to her for advice. And it was actually my mentor that introduced me to other people outside work. I formed like an informal network which became like a support group. A group that I could lean on from different industries. But we realized that almost all the issues that we face were similar, right? So finding like a support group or being part of a network outside your immediate organization is very, very useful. So it was all informal, but we'll meet up for coffee, and we would look for courses to go for together, not wait for like the our company to actually send us for a course or something. So we would encourage each other to improve ourselves, to look for solutions.
I think again, a great point about support network. I want to go back to the earlier point. How were you always so sure of speaking up or knowing that your voice mattered?
I feel I'm naturally inclined, like from when I was in school, I've always spoken up. I was from a girls' school that encouraged girls to speak up, that used to tell us that, although you are girls, you have a voice, and I'm very thankful for that. That I went through that journey in that school. So at the workplace, I thought that, that was how I should be. But of course, I had pushback, right? Then, all these perceptions of me came about. While some would be accepting of it, there would be others who would be threatened by it, right? But nonetheless, I've always felt that if no one is going to give feedback, no improvements would be made. Yeah. If no one is going to ask questions, you will not dig deeper.
Right, right. Nora, you said when you were speaking your mind, of course, there were some who liked it, who were okay with it, and then some who resisted. How did you navigate through your career, being your authentic self, speaking your mind out, and getting reactions which were not always, let's say, positive?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned just now that I enjoyed receiving feedback. Mm. And it's not just asking for feedback. It's asking for suggestions on how I can improve myself, where I can close the gaps. So that's how I learned. You know, I got better at speaking. When I say get better at speaking, I mean speak wisely.
Yeah.
Speak at the right time, but still speak with an impact.
Yeah. I'm going to switch gear again. It's a little bit more lighter, on a lighter note. As you look back at your career, and of course you've got a long career ahead, have there been any pivotal moments?
The one big risk I took was leaving the company I was with for 11 years to join Penguin. When I got the call, I'm not the kind of person that likes to move from one company to another, move from one organization to another. I like to see, I like to grow as much as I can within the company. So I wasn't really looking, but the call came and I really had to think about it. I spoke to many people. A close friend even asked me, are you sure you can do this? This is a very big company, you know? So it was a leap, you know, I took a leap. And I think so far it has paid off.
Yeah, of course. It's great because, again, it's a lesson, right, about taking those risks and about making those calculated risks or taking that leap of faith. And, you know, not sometimes it stretches us and sometimes gets us out of our comfort level. And that's what I'm hearing you say. That's what it did to you, or at least it seemed like it did to you. You come across many young authors, young women authors, or women leaders in general. What would be one or two things you would advise or have pearls of wisdom for them?
When you are just starting out in your career, or even midway, it's okay to not be sure about what you want to do. It's okay to switch gears at any point of your life. It's okay to give yourself time to find out about your strengths and to so-called experiment. There is no age limit to being very sure about where you want to be. So allow yourself to grow and see it as a journey.
That's interesting. What advice would you have for a younger Nora, the teacher Nora?
Be kinder to yourself. Forgive yourself. You are not perfect. You have nothing to prove to anyone but yourself. You know, you don't have to go through life every day thinking, or your job every day thinking you have something to prove to someone else. Just be better than you were yesterday, but just be kind to yourself. If you are tired, rest.
Yeah.
I wish I had rested more. I wish I would forgive myself more whenever I slipped up, you know.
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, so many leaders, I mean, at this stage of their career, I mean, including me, when I look back, that's exactly the thing. Be kind to yourself. Is there anything else, Nora, you would want our audience to hear from you before we start to wrap up?
I think also when I think about my journey, Ritu, I used to always think and agree with this thing that people say, you are not your job. I'm not saying, yes, you are your job. But what I'm saying is that as you grow in your career, you very much become associated to the work you do.
Yeah.
For example, I would like to think that when people look at my face or when they hear my name, oh, Penguin SDA, right? So, of course, when you sign off, it's your company, right? You have your company name. But even like in a social setting, when I go out, sometimes, you know, someone recognizes me as someone among thousands of people. Ritu, I'm not saying I'm a celebrity. Among hundreds of thousands of people. Oh, I think I've seen you before, aren't you? I think it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Because there are many parts of you.
Correct.
Don't try to fight against the not you not being, you are not your job. Because part of you is your job.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a part of you who's mother. There's a part of you who is wife. There's part of you who is daughter.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. Right? And even the part of you who is mother will intersect with the part of you that is your job, because your children see you as maybe a successful business person, right? A successful entrepreneur.
Right.
And what is wrong with that? And that's why you have to find work that you really love. So that you'll be okay to be associated with what you do, because you're going to be very proud of it, actually. Don't run away from it.
Correct. No, that's so well said. And that makes so much sense that, you know, work is such an integral part of our life. So why not part of our identity? Right?
Yes, it's just part of our identity. It's not all of our identity.
Absolutely.
But it is, it is okay for it to be part of our identity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no running away from that.
Yeah.
Great. Great. Good. Nora, it's been so lovely to talk to you. And I know we could sit here and talk for hours and hours. But I also know we've got to start wrapping up. For me, you know, there were many takeaways, I must say that. But the three that stood out for me was the first one that you said is about, reaching out to people for feedback. Like, I mean, we all know it, but it was so good to hear from you that that's what you did, because sometimes we don't realize the power of asking for feedback. Of course, in corporate setting, we are given feedback, but, you know, and sometimes which we may agree, not agree, but really asking for feedback from people whom we trust, that can be so powerful. Because, you know, so that one, again, reiterated that fact for me. The other one, no-brainer, but still the importance of finding and choosing a mentor, not waiting for somebody to come, but choosing a mentor is so critical, because that can open doors in ways which we don't even know. And I've personally experienced the power of having a right mentor. So I know that one, again, I resonated with that. The third one was about, again, speaking up and yet being elegant. I think sometimes, at least as women leaders, we get into either you're very aggressive or you're very docile or, you know, very quiet. But there's a balance. And I think that, again, you know, when you said, I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. You know, speak up, but speak up wisely or speak up for impact. So those were three. And then I could go on. I love the fact that you said to your younger self that, you know, be kinder, forgive yourself. That, of course, is always something that resonates. So thank you so much once again, Nora. I'm sure our listeners got a lot from you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ritu.
Thank you so much for staying with us till the end. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please take a moment to subscribe to the show, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. It helps others find the show, and that means a lot to us. Thank you for joining us today. This was Ritu with Rewrite the Rules podcast. See you next time.